This is episode 58 with Allison Cavatore.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
Hey there. Before the episode starts, I just wanted to ask a huge favor from you faithful listeners. I'd love it if you could leave a review and comment on the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just go there, you know, give it 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever you feel like, and then just leave some comments about how you feel like some of these episodes have helped you out. So, As Told by Nomads on iTunes or As Told by Nomads on Stitcher, and leave some reviews. Thank you very much, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me Allison Cavatore, and she is the founder and editorial director of Global Living Magazine, the ultimate lifestyle magazine and preeminent resource for expats worldwide. Global Living Magazine is a lifestyle publication for global citizens who consider the world their home. With a unique focus on expats and living abroad, Global Living Magazine includes exclusive content from expats by expats, including articles on international travel, living abroad, expatriation and repatriation, culture, business, world-class cities, and much more. Global Living Magazine is published 6 times a year, and you can visit that at globallivingmagazine.com for more information. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for that wonderful intro.
You're welcome. So I talked about you and, you know, how you, you're the founder of this amazing publication, but can you give us a little bit of background about who you are and then maybe talk about why you started Global Living Magazine?
Yeah, sure. So I will sort of do the medium length, I guess, since I don't want to take up all your time on the intro of where I'm from and where I've lived, but I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my dad is from Spain. My mom's from the States. They met in the States. When I was 8, my family moved to the Netherlands in 1993. So that ages me. There you go. And, and then we lived there for 5 years. We moved with my dad's company. He was working for a fiberglass company at the time. And we lived there for 5 years as expats. And then in 1998, we moved to Paris, also with his job, and we spent 5 years there, so that included my 8th grade through graduating high school. And then in 2003, I graduated high school, and I moved to Montreal, Canada for undergrad. I went to McGill, and I did 4 years there, so 2007, I was in, through 2007, I was in Canada. And then after that, I graduated, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do yet, so I moved to Miami, which I guess, which is probably a lot of people's stories. When you don't know what to do, you move to Miami, and I just kind of worked there and did Miami stuff for about a year and a half, and then I moved to Geneva to start a master's in counseling at an, it's an American college called Webster University, and so it's all taught in English. And I did about 6 months there before I decided that probably a master's in counseling was not right for me. But it was in Geneva when I first started working for magazines. So I interned at a English language magazine called Swiss Style. And it sort of caters to all the expats within Switzerland. And that's kind of where I became interested in magazines. So after I decided to stop doing counseling, I moved back to Miami, and I started a master's program in communications with a focus on print journalism, and I did that for a year, and then after I graduated, a couple days actually after I graduated, I started Global Living.
Wow, and that's quite the journey right there. So You said your dad's Spanish, right? Your dad's Spanish?
Yes, he was born in San Sebastian, but his family comes from Madrid. Wow. Well, they're based, well, most of them are based in Madrid.
So what was it like living at home? Did you have to navigate between the Spanish side and the American side, or were you just all, was it all English growing up?
When we were really little, my father spoke quite a bit of Spanish to us. We have some home videos where I'm very fluent and impressed by my child self. but as he began to travel more with his job, we ended up speaking more English at home with my mom. So as I grew up, I kind of lost the Spanish. I can still understand quite a bit. Living in Miami helped, and now Arizona, that helps a little bit. I'm not too fluent in Spanish, but I do. We did have like our grandparents come visit us when we were still in Pittsburgh, and we used to go to Spain as kids to visit them. So I was kind of exposed to cross cultures at an early age, mostly because of my dad's family, even though I was still living in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Now, you decided to launch your own magazine. Why did you want the focus to be on global living?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I kind of was still living a global life. My parents, when I went to college, my parents stayed in Europe, so I still had that connection back to Europe. I was dating a half French, half German man who is now my husband, so I was still really connected to the sort of expat cross-cultural world, and I didn't really know of any magazine that focused on expats living all over the world. There was a lot of localized publications, so for expats in Holland or expats in Belgium, for example. There was nothing that kind of just focused on everybody around the world, or even British people in the States. So I had worked, I'd interned at a couple magazines during grad school, and I really liked it, but I kind of wanted to just do my own thing and focus on what I would be interested in reading and something that I think other expats were probably maybe missing out on a little bit. So it kind of went with that guidance.
No, it's good. I've written one article for you, but I've read the stories there, and it's really, it's fascinating. And obviously, we both know of a lady that's doing basically a year long piece for you.
Yes.
Lucy Chanute. But and it's, you know, it's fascinating the stories you hear and the perspective. So it's you're trying to create this platform for expats to understand the expat experience, or just to share their stories? Is that
Both. I mean, if you're not an expat but you're curious about the life, I think that's also, it's a good magazine for that, because, you know, all the contributors that write for me have such different stories, and they can write about the same topic and have completely different opinions on it. And
that's,
I think
that
makes it kind of special for expats or people curious about the lifestyle, just to kind of, there's just no end to the conversations and diversity that you can get into even just one topic.
I hear you. And is there anything you could say about the expat's mindset? How has it helped you in your personal life, your professional life, and how do you see it manifested in every day? And also, you're married to someone who identifies with several cultures as well. So,
yeah. Well, actually, it's kind of ironic, because I'm not technically an expat right now because I'm back in the States, but right. I'm married to an expat right now. Not that I'm not going to be married to him later, but he's an expat right now in the family. And, you know, in the future, maybe I'll be an expat again. But, you know, I mean, just living abroad and meeting so many different cultures, people from different cultures, and being exposed to different kind of lifestyles and traditions, and kind of enjoying it and being a little bit, I wouldn't say bored by my life before I moved abroad, but just sort of happy that I was exposed to so many different things. And even just, you know, getting, when I moved back to the States, I really didn't know if I was going to still be connected to the expat community. So through the magazine, I've really sort of rebonded with that side of myself, mm-hmm. and sort of really found that that's always going to be who I am, even if I'm living, you know, back in the States for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really helped a lot, that it sort of brought me back into the community, and I've found other people who don't ever really want to leave that community because it's so welcoming and it's so diverse, and you can meet such amazing people, even if you're not an expat at this moment, but you might be in the future or you were in the past.
Yeah. No, you mentioned even if you're not an expat, people can benefit from your magazine. Can you talk about the importance of having that diverse mindset, or what diversity actually brings to any environment?
Well, you know, if you're somebody who's never left your home country, but either you know somebody or you've always wondered what it was like to, you know, to go abroad, or it's different when you go visit a country versus when you go live in a country. So maybe there's somebody out there who has visited, you know, Spain, for example, and they enjoyed it, but they never really had the, I don't want to say guts, but, you know, the opportunity or the spontaneity to go and just live there. Maybe this magazine will influence them that it is possible to do it. You don't have to be on an expat package. I know that's, you know, becoming less and less common nowadays.
Yeah.
You can literally just pick up and go and, you know, start a blog, start a podcast, start, you know, start anything and go live what you've always dreamed of living. And there's a lot of examples of that in the magazine. I think it might encourage people to do that.
Yeah. No, good. You were just talking about podcasts and other multimedia functions. Do you have any... What's your future vision for Global Living? How do you see it growing? I know it's an app right now on the magazine store, an app store. Yep. Yeah. What else?
Well, I would love to be able to get, right now, like you said, it's in the app and I also have print on demand. So the print side of it, I get kind of half and half feedback on that. Some people love the print. Some people just want it on the app with, you know, easy access. Once you download it, you don't even need Wi-Fi or internet for it.
Right.
I definitely want to expand the app. I want to, you know, get all the expats, you know, make them aware of it, let them know that this resource is out there. But I also, you know, I don't want to quite give up on the print side of it yet. even though some of my professors, you know, were, oh, I don't know if print's going to keep going. But, you know, so to get it, subscriptions, distribution, you know, get either a larger publisher involved to help with the distribution because expats are all over the world. And I've found that a little bit tricky to get it to all the expats in the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely expand the app and kind of just see what the need is as it grows and as people continue to read it. What do they want? What do they want out of it? And how do I adapt to that?
Yeah, it's good that you're actually being receptive and you're looking for those things that the readers want. That makes it more engaging. Now, it's www.globallivingmagazine.com, right? They can find out every single thing. Good. All right.
Absolutely.
I'm very curious about your personal life, though, because you've lived everywhere. Yes. Don't worry, it's not going to be too personal. But but my question that's personal here is, how have you resolved that feeling of home? Because, and I'm also curious about you being married to an expat, and if you see that if that manifests itself sometimes, because his home is somewhere else, and your home is here to a certain degree, but you also sometimes may be restless to go abroad. So, how's that feeling gone on in
the
your...
awkward home question, right? We love it and we hate it. I mean, I've kind of battled with this a lot, as most expats and third culture kids do. I've kind of come to realize lately that home is kind of where I just feel most comfortable. I mean, you know, physically, yes, I'm in my home right now. I work from home. This is, you know, I use that word lightly when I talk about home and where I work and all that, but where I currently reside is home, but the feeling of really being comfortable in a city or a country, I've had it in certain places. I haven't had it in other places. Everybody who knows me is going to roll their eyes when I say Washington, D.C. feels like home to me because I talk about D.C. all the time.
Yeah.
But it really, that city really, it felt like home. I feel really comfortable there. It's international enough. There were quite a few people that I went to high school in Paris with that ended up in D.C., so I was able to continue those bonds and just kind of have people that got me, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
When you're in the States, you feel like, oh, I miss Europe and I want to go back, and that was home. And when you're in Europe, you miss things about the States.
Yeah, it's always that back and forth. It's like, which one?
Yeah, best of both worlds, I guess, would be ideal. But Canada was kind of a really interesting combination because I was in Montreal, so it definitely had the French flair, which was really wonderful for me coming from France. But then I also got sort of the North American experience as well. So, you know, a lot of people ask me if it was hard to move back to North America, and I think because I had that middle step of Canada, mm-hmm. I didn't really have a culture shock until I came back to the U.S., and I was sort of more isolated without as many expats around me, which was only when I got to Miami. So I definitely felt a little bit more at home in Montreal. I don't know if there's a definitive answer to that.
No. I actually think your answer is perfect because you gave several, which actually just hones in the point that home is really where you're comfortable. You said you had culture shock in Miami. Is that correct?
Yeah.
In Miami. I was just in Miami. I was in Miami last week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I love Miami. But you, really? How, why was it so shocking? Because I thought maybe the Latin vibe would have resonated with you.
Yeah, I would have, I didn't really think about it when I moved there. I think it was just, it was more American than I had lived in since I was 8 years old. Wow. So,
okay.
And it was a lot less, I didn't really bump into people from Switzerland or, I didn't bump into anybody from high school. I actually ended up living across the hall from my best friend in high school, but that was the one exception.
Yeah, the one exception.
But, I don't know. It's a great place to visit. And now that we don't live there, we go there quite often. While I was there, it just didn't settle as home for me. I don't know what it was, if it was, because you're right, it's not a very American place, but I don't know. It was maybe just coming from the other places. It was so different.
No, it was funny because when I was in Miami, we had, went to a few houses and there were some friends over. And a few people had moved there, and there were a couple of couples who said they just hadn't found a sense of community there yet.
Yeah.
And then I heard the opposite side as well. So it was like a mix. Some people said, I really like it here. This is where I want to be. And then, there was this other couple that was like, I'm still looking. So when you said that, I was like, that's really interesting because I've only visited Miami. I've never lived. So it's always different when it's visit or live. So,
yeah. Which is the same for, any place. I mean, it's not just, I'm not bashing Miami by any means.
Oh, no, yeah. Not at all. I mean, but it's the same thing. I mean, in New York, for me, I'd only visited before, but I had a feeling that I wanted to live there, and people would tell me, no, it's crazy, it's too crowded. But, it's actually been good for me, because the crowd reminds me of Lagos, where I'm from, and I'm actually one of those weird people that finds comfort in just chaos. So
yeah, you thrive on the crowd. Yeah.
So I'm one of those. So yeah, no, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
Now, what's your favorite country?
I assume this is to live in or
favorite country to visit.
Ooh, to visit. That's tricky. I do like Italy. I mean, how can you not like Italy to visit?
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, Italy, I think Switzerland is always a good experience living and visiting. They're just, they're organized, they're polite. I don't know, it's always a good experience in Switzerland. It's okay. Beautiful. I've lived in Europe and I've lived in the States and I've lived in Canada, but I always kind of call myself a soft expat. I haven't really lived in any place exotic.
Yeah.
So, I still have to visit the Middle East and... who knows, we might end up in Asia one day or something, okay. Favorite places to visit, yeah, a lot of it in Europe.
So that's Swiddly for you, Swiddly, Switzerland, yeah. Switzerland and Italy. All right, okay, since you've been Europe and North America centric, any country with the best food, in your opinion?
France, and not just because part of my family is now French. it's got to be France, I think. We get little care packages from my husband's grandma, and when they arrive, it's just like heaven. So,
gotcha. Wow. Okay, yeah. France. And what about music?
Oh, I'm kind of all over the board there. I like the top 40. I like electronic music. I know a shockingly a lot of rap songs. I know a lot.
Wait. We have to revisit. Well, hold on. What is your favorite?
It's not that kind of podcast.
Fair enough. Because I was very excited. I was about to hear which rap songs. But
once you stop recording, then we'll go into that. Yeah.
I thought you might have dropped Straight out of Compton or something. But no. Okay. So you're all over the place. You said EDM. Which I'm still trying to get used to.
And okay, you'll get there.
That's what I hear. Everybody tells me all the time. I'm giving it a chance. EDM, top 40, some rap, some pop. All right. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. But before we get to the closing part, I want to talk about how you use your difference to make a difference, one. And then the other one is how maybe one time you've overcome a cultural change, or you can overcome a challenge of accepting and embracing your global identity. Maybe you're in a different environment. That's probably Miami for you. And then you overcame that by just accepting who you are and embracing your global identity.
Yeah. So,
well, we can start with how you use your difference to make a difference. And then
okay, well, first of all, I want to say I applaud you for you know, bringing that concept to light and encouraging people to explore how they can do that. So I think that's really great what you're doing.
Thank you.
I don't know if other people that you've interviewed about this have been like, oh gosh, I hope I am making a difference. I don't know if I am, but, you know, I think with my magazine, just kind of bringing to light the fact that if you're an expat, just own it and embrace it. And I haven't been an expat since 2008, and I still feel just as strongly connected to that community, and I'm totally comfortable with it. And, you know, it's about being comfortable with who you are, and that is who I am. I was a, you know, I was a third culture kid. That's the life I had. I was very fortunate. And I hope that through the magazine and through people sharing their stories and, you know, getting emotional when they read somebody else's stories, they can kind of feel a little bit, just feel related, like feel connected to somebody, even if they don't know them, which you've obviously, you were at the Families in Global Transition conference with me last month. And you kind of feel that as soon as you walk in the room. You just feel like, ah, you know, like, this is my group. This is who I am, and I'm totally cool with that. And I want to share my story, and I want to inspire other people to share their stories. Mm-hmm. So if my magazine's doing that, you know, that's a huge bonus. And I hope it can continue to do that.
No, I can tell you that is actually absolutely true. Because, I mean, when I was doing research and trying to find magazines, you know, yours came up. And I did just some research, and I was like, these are stories that needs to get out there. That's why I wanted to write for you. And you know, I think it's amazing what you're doing, because there's a certain sense of relatability and magic that happens when you can read a story and say that's me, and that's something that I get. And you know, you were talking about the FIGT conference which we were at a few weeks ago, and it was one of the only places where we felt like we were the majority, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and it was okay to ask somebody, like, so where have you lived? And you could just stand there and talk about it. No judgments, you know, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny when we had Niels, I think he was he felt like the minority there. And he was like, well, you know, this is how we feel every day.
But, welcome to our world.
But so it was interesting. And I think what you said is actually true, because people always... I'm always curious about how exactly they're making a difference, but if, you know, even if you can make it in one person's life and that starts a reaction, I think that has a big impact.
You know, it's also inspiring to meet people who are trying to do the same thing. Like, so it was really great to meet you, because you're encouraging people to look inside themselves and see, oh, am I making a difference, and how can I make a difference? Right. And I think the expat community is full of such creative, inspiring people, and it's just, it's been really fun to even dive back into that community now that I'm not an expat, and continue to do so as I become an expat again.
Yeah, inspiring people like Allison Cavatore. I mean, come on.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So what about a time when you had to really dig deep and really embrace your global identity? Maybe it was a difficult time, but you overcame it.
I looked at your like pre-questions this morning, and I was like, oh gosh, he's going to ask me that question. I believe I've been pretty fortunate, and I didn't have any huge identity crisis. You know, you go through the typical teenage things, and you know, when you're 13, you're trying to figure out who you are on top of the fact that you're an American living in Paris. But I was in an American school, and a lot of my friends were from around the world, so we all kind of were battling the same thing. I honestly would say my biggest sort of shock to the system was when I moved from DC to Arizona. It's a beautiful place, but I haven't really found an expat group or expat people. You don't really run into people as you do in other cities. So it's been a little bit like, I sound American. I am American. I have a passport that's American. But I don't feel like I fit in with the Americans that I'm now predominantly surrounded by. So I think that was maybe the hardest time for me, because before this I had lived in sort of international cities, and it was sort of, this move was sort of an exaggeration of the Miami move, because the Miami move, you know, I had my friend from high school there, and I had my now husband there. But this is a little, this is a little tricky with the,
right.
The identity.
Yeah, no, but what you're really harping on there is that it's constantly a learning process for everyone.
Yeah.
It's never, I mean, even, if you're an expat or you're not an expat, or whether you were before, there's always constantly, we all evolve, and whether you're a parent, you're a wife, you're a kid, you're a new environment, there's always something that we can learn and grow from.
It's been a good opportunity for me to sort of be like, all right, you know, you're American, you can do this. So, you know, it's sort of been like, okay, you know what, when you go out, maybe just leave a little bit of your, hey, I've lived here, and hey, I've lived there, you know, leave it at home a little bit. And if there are people that want to talk about it, that's fantastic. And if not, you know, you'll survive. So it's, that's sort of been, maybe this is what repatriation is. It's just taken me this long to get here.
I think you're doing a good job. I mean, when we talked for hours. I mean, when we were there. So when we met, yeah. It's funny, I didn't realize that we were sitting at the same table.
the first day?
Yeah, the first day for the first opening note. And then I was like, I've been talking to you over email and didn't realize we're on the same table. So
yeah, that's always the thing when you try to put an email address to a face and you're like, oh, there he is.
No, but I appreciate it. So, I mean, this has been great. Thank you so much for all the time you've taken. Do you have any last words you want to say? Any other updates we can look up to? And
a couple little shameless plugs. The next issue is coming out at the beginning of May, and then your podcast listeners can of course look forward to your future interview that'll be in our July August issue. So we're gonna flip the table and interview you.
Uh-oh.
So back guest, get ready.
All right. So May, the next issue, and then you got another one in July August.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will be sure to put that there and put the links for there, and hopefully I'll have this timed for when your release is on, so it'll be right there.
That would be so great. Good. I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uydmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.